Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. There's a house for sale down the street from us. Where are we holding 222?
We are holding in the Tiferes Yisrael in Perek Chof Aleph. However, it's Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah, right?
Yeah. Okay. No guilt on guilt.
It's Hanukkah. So what I would like to do today is maybe we could call it a little bit of a deviation from our normal curriculum here of the Tiferes Yisrael plowing ahead, but it will be a deviation with justification, which is not only that it's because it's Hanukkah and there's a notion of Inyan HaDiyuma, but where we're up to in the Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Chof Aleph, although there are a couple of pieces left in Perek Chof, small points in Perek Chof which are very interesting, which we did not touch upon, but we don't cover everything here. Perek Chof Aleph, the subject matter is Moshe Rabbeinu, the choice of Moshe Rabbeinu as the communicator of the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael. And Mir Hashem will see it more in greater detail. But today I would like to focus a little bit on Hanukkah, and we'll focus on an aspect of Hanukkah that we can connect really to the bechina, an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. One of the aspects which we have of Moshe Rabbeinu, which would naturally we would try to look for some kind of relationship here in Hanukkah, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, le'yada Moshe kikoran or pana v'dabra itay. Moshe Rabbeinu had a radiance from the skin of his face, v'dabra itay, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him. If you take a survey of people and you say, you're familiar with the pasuk Koran Or Panav? Yes. How do you spell Or? Right? You'll get a division. Some people will spell it Or Ayin Vav Resh, and some people will spell it Aleph Vav Resh. Or Ayin Vav Resh means skin. Aleph Vav Resh means light. The reason why some people will translate it as will spell it as Ur is because everybody understands that it was a glow, it was a radiance, it was a light that came from Moshe Rabbeinu's face. However, the way we read the Torah, that comes from Koran, right? Koran means to shine. That means Koran means to shine, but it's not stam a mistake which people make. It's written, Chazal say, that you have Ur, those two, right? Or if it would be more accurate in our pronunciation, more Yemenite-like in our pronunciation, we would say or, which is, you know, with an ayin, it's pronounced much more from the throat, gutturally. And this kind of an exchange we find in Chazal here, by Koran or Panav, or, and we find it as well by when Adam HaRishon sinned, that it says in the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them kosnos or vayal bishen. Right, and Chazal say that in the Torah of Rabbi Meir, I think, right, it said kosnais or with an aleph, even though it means cloaks of skin, but they had it as cloaks of or, of light. In Sforim it's written that or, as in skin, is the same exact spelling, if you pronounce it differently, as iver, as blind. That's what we call a sagi nohar, a person who, euphemistically, we say he has too much light, which of course it's not. Right, he's you know, ki'iver ba'afela, like a blind person in darkness. Right, there's a lack of light. Moshe Rabbeinu somehow in his strength is associated with the R, with the light that came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So if that's enough of a segue, we'll come back to it and we'll talk about it more. It's not again just an excuse, but we'll come back to it and speak about it some more, back to the Moshe Rabbeinu model. But let's first go and learn over a classic biur of the Maral in the Ner Mitzvah on Hanukkah, a classic biur on the Yontav of Hanukkah, and go from there to try to understand this concept a little bit better. The Maral's Ner Mitzvah is a sefer with great significance, of course, that would be the case, but there's a certain significance beyond Hanukkah. That is that in the first part of the Ner Mitzvah, the first part of the Ner Mitzvah, at least half of the Ner Mitzvah, is actually not dedicated to Hanukkah per se, but is dedicated to the Maharal's discussion of the Arba Goliyos, of the four exiles that the Jewish people experience over history. And that seems to be significant, even though Hanukkah celebrates one of the redemption from one of those exiles, just like Purim does, celebrates one. And you know, we have others, but there's a special notice we have by Hanukkah of the Arba Goliyos. In fact, the Mois Tzur that we sing on Hanukkah is also a review of those Goliyos. Mitzrayim is included. It also has about Mitzrayim, which is the not one of the four Goliyos, it's the pre-Golos, it's the original Golos. But then, right, each one of the paragraphs, right, after the first introductory paragraph, Roy Savanafshi is about Mitzrayim, Tvir Kodshei Heviyani is about Bavel, Christ Kaimas Barosh is about Poras, about the story of Purim, Yevanim Nikvetzu Alai is, of course, about Hanukkah, and Chasei Zerei Kodshecha is the prayer for the conclusion of the Golos of Edom, of the current Golos. And the Maharal dedicates, again, the first half, the bulk of the Sefer of the Ner Mitzvah, to a large part of the bulk of the Sefer, to discussing the Arba Goliyos. And in that context, of course, discussing Yavan as well. The second half of the Ner Mitzvah is dedicated to Chanukah specifically, aspects of the Yom Tov specifically. And in there, he says a fascinating yesod, which he writes elsewhere as well, and where he explains the phenomenon of Chanukah, and Chanukah as occurring specifically when it does on Chaf Hei Kislev, on the 25th of Kislev. We know that there's a machloikas in the Gemara between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about when the world was created, whether the world was created in Nisan or the world was created in Tishrei. And we know that, let's say you say the world was created in Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah, it's not actually that the world was created on Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah, but that Adam was created on Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Tishrei. The world itself would have been created on Chaf Hei Elul. The 25th of Elul would have been day one, and Aleph Tishrei would have been day six, the day when man was created. And so it becomes the Yom Hadin, the day of judgment for man, focused on man, of all creation to some degree, but focused on man, the anniversary of that event. So on Chaf Hei, on the 25th of Elul, the world was created. The beginning of Bereshis occurs. Or, for that matter, one might say, on Chaf Hei Nisan, on Chaf Hei Adar, if you're going to go the other way around, if you're going to say B'Nisan Nivra Ha'ilam. The year is divided into four tkufais, four seasons. Right? We usually associate these, of course, with the solar year accurately. Right, they're the solar seasons, but at the same time, on some level, we also view them as happening through the lunar seasons, and that's why we have to adjust our calendar once in a while in order to compensate for that. We don't have a floating lunar calendar like Lahavdil the Muslims have, where they don't compensate for the fact that it's 11 days short every year. We try to somehow put the two of them together. So Chaf Hei, the 25th, 3 months after Chaf Hei Elul, is Chaf Hei Kislev. So this is the three-month anniversary of the creation of the world, and fundamentally the end of the first season. What's the nature of the seasons? What's the significance of the seasons? So you know that the seasons, we have two equinoxes and two solstices, or solstici, or solsti, or who knows what it is, and who needs to speak about them in the plural anyway. But you have two times. Right, you have the spring and the fall, where the days and nights are pretty much even, and then you have the spring and the winter and the summer, where it's out of kilter, where it's the opposite, where in the winter time the nights are very long and the days are very short, and in the summertime that's when the days are at their longest and the nights are at their shortest. So, following that, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, when did Hashem create the world? He created it either be'echad b'chafei be'elul, or on chafei b'tishrei, or on chafei ba'adar. These are, right, it's either the fall, right, at the beginning of the fall, or it is at the beginning of the spring, which are the equinoxes, the times when it will be even. And 3 months after that, after Chafei, would be the time when you're already getting to the winter solstice, where the days are at their shortest and the nights are at their longest. But that's the day when it reaches that point, when it valleys, and then it starts to immediately creep back up. The significance of Chafei, of course, is that the first day of creation, what do we have as the explicit maimer, the explicit creation on that day was Yihor, was the creation of light. Hashem created the heaven and the earth that day, presumably, right? That was the day of the creation of the heaven and earth, right? Depending, of course, on certain translations, Bereishis Bara, in the beginning of creation, or in the beginning Hashem created. But certainly the first mamar, the first statement that comes into creation at that point is Vayomer Elokim Yihor, let there be light. And that creation of light, where you have Ayavdel Elokim, Bein Or Vein HaChayshach, right? He separated between the light and the darkness, and he called light day and night dark, darkness night. Right? Those were, that was the time of the year when night and day were equal. Night and day were equal. However, from then on, what happened? From then on, what happened? From that original creation of the Or, you have a miut Or. You have the Or getting less and less. You have the days getting shorter and shorter, until it reaches the point of Chaf Hei Kislev, when it's as dark as it can be, and then we light the menorah, and we begin the restoration of the light. Essentially, that's the chiddush, that's the idea that the Maral tries to convey. Haschalas Ha'ar, hu chiddush Ha'ar, hu shayach al Chaf Hei Bekislev. The beginning of light, the renewal of light, is relevant to the 25th of Kislev. That's when this starts. That's the Or being maisif. That's the Or growing and growing and growing. And so the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which is the beginning of that Or, we have there, and continues the Maral. So that's why you have specifically a nace of Neiris, a nace of the Shemen, a nace of the candles with the oil, bringing light, a growing light that happens specifically at that time, because of the nature of the time of year in which it is happening. And furthermore, it's specific that it happens in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is also known as Or. It's also called light, says the Maral. As the Maral brings the Medrash in Bereishis, Amar Rabbi Barachia b'Shem Rabbi Yitzchak, Mimkayim Beis HaMikdash Nivris Ha'ira. The light was created, originated from the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, as it says, V'nikvayd Elokei Yisrael Ba Miderach HaKedem, V'en Kovayd Ela Beis HaMikdash. Kovayd refers to the Beis HaMikdash, and we understand that's the beginning of light. That's the raya that the Medrash brings. So we see this idea of it emanating from there. That light emanates from the Beis HaMikdash, and light begins to grow, regrow on the 25th of Kislev seasonally, and therefore to have the light generated miraculously from the Beis HaMikdash on the 25th of Kislev is part of the chiddush, of the novelty and the significance of this miracle. I'm sorry, I just have two. Let me. Okay, so Nachamu. So that's the idea, and of course, you know, he adds, you know, many nice little nekudais. Like for instance, who did it? It was munach b'chesame shal kohen gadol. It was lit by the kohanim. The kohanim gedolim. How many garments does a kohen gadol wear?
Eight.
Okay, so there's your Shmoneh Simei Chanukah. Somehow the kohen is associated with eight. The same whatever, eight lamala miderach hateva, beyond the course of nature, which is associated with Chanukah as well. So that's the outline. That's the essential idea which the Maharal says. But let's try to look at it a little bit more and try to understand a little bit better. The creation of Ur is one of the great enigmas of Bereshis. Why? Because on the first day of creation, what did Hashem create? The light. On the fourth day of creation, what did Hashem create? The sun and the moon and the stars, which are known in the Torah at that point not by name. What are they known as? Ma'ayrais. They're known as the luminaries, the providers of light, the generators of light. So on the first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light, and later he created that which generates light. How does that work? How do you create light before you create that which creates light? Right. So this is one of the great enigmas of Bereshis. What does it mean? What is this Ur HaRishon? Right. So there's a simple approach which will speak about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really even created the sun and the moon and the stars to generate light on the first day. Obviously, if he created the light, he had to create those things that would generate light. But what happened was, on the fourth day, all he did was he said, "Yehi Maris Birki HaShamayim." There he was tola them, he placed them in the heavens, he positioned them on the fourth day, but they weren't there, they were already there on the first day. Other ways to understand it is that Ur is the creation of energy. Ur is the creation of the entity called energy. And energy exists in the world, right? The most prominent source of energy might be the sun, right? But energy is there as an element, as something which exists within the world, and then later HaKadosh Baruch Hu parcels that energy to specific sources, to places from where it will come. And we've talked to some degree, I don't remember when or where or what, right? But we've talked somehow, I think, around this table a little bit about these aspects of Ur and about Chazal's attitude towards Ur. But I want to try perhaps to suggest something here. Within Chazal's understanding of Ur, sorry, I'm falling apart over here, that I think might be especially relevant to our view of this here in the context of Chanukah. What's the difference between Ur and a Ma'or? Between a light and something which provides light. Let me ask you a question. Your Menorah, is it a Ma'or? So you're nodding your heads yes, and I will suggest to you that it is not. Your menorah is not a ma'ar. Why? Because as you say right after you light your menorah, ve'ein lanu rishus lishtamesh bohem ela liraisam bilvad. You have no permission to use the light of the menorah. You can't use it as a provider of light. You're only allowed to see it. Last night, if you were making Havdalah, and you wanted to make a bracha of Havdalah on your Menorah. Okay? So let's put aside for a moment that lechatchila for Havdalah you're supposed to have an avuka, a torch, and Ner Chanukah you can't have an avuka, you can't have a torch. Right? You can only have single flames. Right? Let's put that aside. Right? Could you make a bracha b'ayir m'ayir ha'esh on your Menorah? No, you can't. Why? Because the light was not created for light to illuminate. The light was created just to be a light. If a person lights a yahrzeit licht, right? Can they make a bayre ma'ire ha'esh on the yahrzeit licht itself? It's not simple that you can at all. Why? Because again, a yahrzeit licht is not lit in order to provide light for something else. It's not a ma'ar. The bracha is bayre ma'ire ha'esh. Blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created fire that produces light. You can't make a bracha b'yomareish on your fireplace, even though it's a beautiful, raging torch. Why? Because you don't light the fire in your fireplace for illumination. Now, there, you don't light it so that you should... Well, some people might light it so you see the fire. It looks nice. Normally, the idea is you light that for warmth. You can't make a b'yomareish on a fire which is lit for warmth, because it's not ma'ayre ha'esh. A ma'ar is specifically something which is there to illuminate something else, in order to provide light. Ur is not necessarily to illuminate something else. Ur is a presence. It's a light which is there to be seen. The light of the Mishkan, Chazal say, the light of the Migdash, v'chila ayra hu tzarech. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need us to light a menorah in the Migdash to provide light? It's the opposite. We have a reverse attitude when it comes to the Migdash. Just like this Medrash, which says in a mystical way, which is beyond perhaps our simple comprehension, that the original Ur was created from the place of the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal have this notion that the Beis HaMikdash didn't need light from any place else. It's the light of the world. So even the lights, the windows that were in the Mikdash, were engineered such that they were going outward. In other words, normally if you would want to, okay, I always get mixed up with this, so you'll forgive me if I do, but normally if you would want to have a window to provide light and you didn't want people to see in so much, so it would be narrow on the outside, and it would broaden as it gets to the inside, so that the light spreads inside. The windows of the Mikdash were the opposite. They were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside. And the idea was because the light comes from the Beis HaMikdash to the world instead of vice versa. So what's the light of the menorah? Why did Hashem have a menorah as part of the central elements of the Mikdash? Says the Gemara, the light isn't there to illuminate. It's Eidus. The menorah is outside of Eila Eidus. It's Eidus Yishashchina Shaira B'Yisrael. It's a testimony that the presence of Hashem is amongst the Jewish people. Why? Because every single day in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash there was a Neis Chanukah. Every single day there was a Neis Chanukah. Why? Because they would put in the candles of the menorah enough oil to last for the longest nights, for those winter solstice nights. They would put in enough oil to last for the whole night. Because the menorah was supposed to be lit at night, and then in the morning was cleaned, and it was lit again the next night. But lo and behold, every morning they came, and the Ner Maravi, the what's called the Western Light, was still lit. And it remained lit all the time. It remained lit until the evening when they came to light the menorah again. And then they had to do some kind of a deft switcheroo in order to light the menorah and clean out this candle while that part of the menorah was still lit. It was a miracle. It was a miracle that happened every day. Okay, so it's not as dramatic as finding a flask of oil and having it last for 8 days, you know. But nevertheless, Chazal say this was an edus. This was a testimony to the presence of Hashem. The whole menorah was there. The light was the light of the presence of Hashem. It wasn't to illuminate anything else. It was a presence of light. It was a presence of light which in itself is there to impress. And so, when we speak about the original Ur, we're speaking about the presence. And I think this is the way to understand, or a way to understand, when Chazal say that when Hashem created the original light, He said, this light is not something that creatures can use. And what did He do? He put it away. He was gainez it. That's what we call the famous Or HaGonus, right? Which is in Kabbalah 102, right after you finish the Tzimtzum segment, right? So, you know, the Or HaGonus, the hidden light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created at Bereishis, and He put it away for the tzaddikim l'asid lavai. Because what this refers to is the light of the presence of Hashem. It's not the light by which you see that this is a cup of tea instead of a cup of coffee. Right? It's not that light. It's a different kind of a light. It's the light of the presence of Hashem. It's the light of the presence of Hashem. Ki ba'or panecha nasata lanu Hashem aleikeinu. When we speak about the light of the face, the radiance of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's bring another example, which I think we could say it's Mitairas HaMaharal, right? Because it's really, he doesn't express it exactly in this way, but we learned not long ago in Perek Yud Dalad of the Tiferes Yisrael about the Gemara in Saita, which explains the pasuk of Kiner Mitzvah V'Taira Ar. A mitzvah is a candle, the Taira is a light. So the Gemara is trying to explain a little bit about this idea of Ner Mitzvah V'Taira Ar, about the difference between the protection and the strength which is provided by the Ner, by mitzvahs, as opposed to the protection and the strength which is provided by Torah, by Torah itself. And the Gemara says, what happens if a person's traveling, if a person is traveling at night, and person's traveling at night, so they have to worry about kaitzim, barkanim, they have to worry about walking into thorn bushes, into thistle bushes, right? And you also, you need a light to tell whether it's a thorn or a thistle, of course, as well. And you need also, you have to worry about bayreis and pchasim, you have to worry about pits, and potholes and all kinds of things. Right? So if you have a Nair, if you have a Nair, so then you don't have to worry, because you'll have your flashlight and you'll be able, before you take a step, the path before you is going to be illuminated. However, you still have to worry about Chayas Rois and Listim. You still have to worry about wild animals and bandits, because they still, it's nighttime, they still can lurk in the shadows, right? You won't trip over one, right? But they can still come and lunge at the person from behind. But when the sun rises, says the Gemara, and then it's not a candle anymore, then its world is filled with light, then the wild animals recede into the security of the dark forest. The thieves go into their homes, right? Go into there until, you know, till darkness comes again and they can go out and do their trade.
DC.
So the idea, what's the difference? What's the difference between the two of them? Remember, Maral, different aspects of what the differences between Ner Mitzvah and Torah are. But clearly, part of what you have here is that the Ner is providing you with light so that you're going to be able to see things. I'm sorry, I have to take it. Funeral day. Hello?
Rabbi.
Yes. Yes, yes. Hi. I'm okay. I'm going to have to be... I'm... Peterson. Right. Okay, could I call you back? Just, I'm in the middle of a class. I saw you call twice, so I picked the phone. Okay, no problem. I'm going over to the family 10:30. I was gonna discuss it with them as well. We have to be out of there by 3:30. Okay. Okay. Well, we're gonna do that other one on Monday, not on Tuesday. Okay, I spoke to him already. Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll do it Monday. I spoke to him. Oh, we'll talk. Okay. Okay. Bye bye. Sorry, two people passed away last night. Two people in my orbit passed away last night.
Listim archive.
Yeah, the listim, that's not the idea that because you have some illumination so that you're able to see. The idea is there's light, and they stay away from the light. The light is imposing to them. It's there, it's not, you know, the R. Its presence isn't, of course, you say, okay, it illuminates, so then people will see the animals, they'll see the bandits, and so on and so forth. But the idea there is that they recede from the light. The light is something which is overwhelming to them, something which, because of whatever comes in its wake, they can't be around it. It's the difference between a Nair, between just a utilitarian tool to be able to see, and the R. When we speak about Torah being R, it's not a Ma'ar, a Nair, it's bigger. It creates something in the person themselves. If you remember, that's a lot of what we spoke about as well there, the difference between that, right, the mitzvah will be able to attack and address a specific thing. I want to use this right, use that right. But for self-transformation, you don't just want a tool of a toolbox, a mitzvah. Self-transformation, you need Torah. Torah is going to create the radiance around the person himself, the change within the person himself that will cause these different negative things to recede and to move from being a significant factor. That's Ner Mitzvah V'Torah. Yeah?
It isn't, not to contradict, but isn't the candle then the Ma'or, and that which it creates the Or, and what you're seeing is the Or, not just the Ma'or. You're making bracha on the Or, not on the Ma'or.
Which candle are you speaking about?
Chanukah candle. And therefore, that's why you're... And that's why you're not only allowed to... Because that's what you're making the bracha on, is only on the...
You're making a bracha on a Ner on Chanukah.
Yeah.
Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, that's the mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah to light a Ner. Maybe it's the ultimate one might say, of Ner Mitzvah, but the Mitzvah is to light a Ner that will generate an Or, but not the normal Or of a Ner. Not the normal Or of a Ner, okay. Which means it's not the normal Or of a Mitzvah. Ner of a Mitzvah. It's not the normal Or of a Ner that you're lighting it in order to be able to see. Right? That's normally the Or of a Ner. This is a different Or of a Ner.
So
this is more of a throwback to the original Or.
So it's still a more, just its purpose is something which you can't make, you can't use, you can't utilize.
Right.
Its purpose is different.
It's yes, in that sense. It's a Mo'or, but not in the classic sense of a Mo'or. Yeah.
So the Or of the candle, the Hanukkah Ner, is similar to Torah and the light of day. It's not a light for you to see.
Right. That's correct. It's not a light to illuminate. It's a light that's to be a presence. And that's the Or of Sheshes, that's the Or of the Yom HaRishon. It's a light of presence. It's a light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. We have to understand that when we see this, you see, I know we've discussed this before a long time ago, but Bereshis, the original creation of Bereshis, right, the 101 of the Kabbalah of the Tzimtzum, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first allowed a material matter to exist in the world beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The act of creation we call Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing, right? Ex nihilo, something from nothing. Bereshis Bora, something from nothing. What's nothing? What does that mean? There was nothing here and poof, something came into existence. That's of course true on the first level, but you have to understand the truth on the second level. The second level is nothing exists in the world other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In truth, nothing exists. In other words, nothing has independent existence. Everything that exists exists only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it to exist and encourages its existence. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. Bereshis Bara, before creation, nothing existed. Ein oid milvadai, in the simplest meaning. Without philosophy, ein oid milvadai, nothing existed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then created Yesh Me'ayin. He allowed something to exist other than him. He went from ein oid milvadai to Yesh something milvadai, but not really milvadai. Right? The first act is allowing, so to speak, Hashem narrowing his overwhelming presence in the Bria to allow something else to exist. The Chomer, the matter exists. And then, beginning with the first mamar, with the first statement, Hashem starts to impose his tzura, his form, his formative qualities on this thing, which is fundamentally external. It's a matter which exists separate from Hashem, but he starts to begin the process, which is to put Hashem's presence into the world, which is the tachlis, of course, of creating something else, but then will not be else, but then will have the presence of Hashem in it. And the first act in that is the creation of the Ur. The first act which distills putting the presence of Hashem into it is putting Or into the world. Because the Or is a synonym for the presence of Hashem. Ki bi'or ponecha nasat alonu. Yor Hashem ponavei lecha. That's what it is. That's what it expresses. Or is the presence of Hashem put into the world. And that's not just simply to illuminate. That's not just simply in order to provide light to see something else. That's what the Shemesh and the Oreach and the Kechavim are there for. That's the difference between Wednesday and Sunday. On Sunday, it's L'David Mizmor L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umloya Tevel V'yesh Veva. It's like the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the world of Hashem Echad. Right? Yahyar Vayveku Yom Echad. We say Yom Echad because Hashem was Mamish, the one and only in His world. What do we say on Wednesday in the Shir Shel Yom? We say, Kel Mekameis Hashem, Kel Mekameis Hefiyah. Hashem, God of vengeance, appear on the scene. Why? Because on Wednesday, Hashem created the other luminaries. V'osid li pora me'ayvdehem. And He's going to take revenge. He's going to punish those who worship them. The competition to Hashem in the world, quote-unquote, classically was provided by the other things that generated light. Hashem generated the light. Yehi Or. Then on Wednesday, He created these other things that are ma'ayres, that generate light. The difference between the two of them is the difference between Or and Ma'ar. The difference between the two of them is the difference between R and Ma'ar. And Ner Chanukah is R, not Ma'ar. Ner Chanukah is Or, not Mu'ar. And the Or of Moshe Rabbeinu was also Or, not Mu'ar. How do you know? It's Mufurish Rashi. In the end of Parshas Kisisa, it describes the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu's face. That's the place where it describes Moshe Rabbeinu as the radiance of his face. So what does the Pasuk say? Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he had the two luchos in his hand. He did not realize that his skin, the skin of his face, was radiant, was shining, right, through Hashem speaking to him. And Aaron and all the Jewish people saw Moshe. Boy, his face was shining. By Yuru Migesha, they love. They were afraid to approach him. They were, excuse me, Lahavdil Alavavdi Abdullahs, they were like the bandits and the Chayas Rois. Just like they stay away, so to speak, from the light of day, somebody who wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu would stay away from the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. The light is overwhelming. The light is dazzling. The light is like the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina that a person can't approach. That was the story over here. That was the story over here. They couldn't approach the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, we use sunlight all the time, but we can't approach the sun. We can't look at the sun. Pnei Moshe ki pnei chama. Vayikra aleihem Moshe vayashuv elav Aaron v'chol hanasiim v'yada. Moshe Rabbeinu called him. He says, come, come, come. You can't approach. It won't kill you. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Jewish people to approach him at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu allows the Jewish people to approach him now at this point in time. So Aaron and the leaders learned, and then Kol Bnei Yisrael came and he instructed them. Moshe finished speaking to them. And he put on his face a masveh. A masveh is a mask or a screen to cover his face. Right? Then the pasuk goes on and says, when Moshe Rabbeinu would come to Hashem, he would take the mask off until he left, and then he would speak to the Bnei Yisrael, and then when he spoke to the Bnei Yisrael, they would see the face of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kikor and Arpnei Moshe. They would see the radiance of his face, and then Moshe Rabbeinu would put the mask back on his face until the next time he would speak to Hashem and speak to the Bnei Yisrael. Says Rashi, why did he put on a mask? Says Rashi, L'chvayd karnei ha'hoid. It was for the honor of the karnei ha'hoid, of these radiance of glory that came from Moshe Rabbeinu, shele yazunu hakol mehem, so that people should not be fed, nourished by those karnei ha'hoid. Whatever light they would glean from it had to be stopped. Okay, now maybe I'm translating this Rashi a little bit simplistically, right? Because you know what's exactly going on over here. But Moshe Rabbeinu needed them to see the light of his face when they were learning the Torah from him, and when they weren't, it wasn't just there as a light that people should use. Nizayim means that it wasn't just a light that people should use. It was an R. It wasn't a Ma'ar. It was an R. It wasn't a Ma'ar. That's the thing which we have over here. There's such a thing as light, which is an entity for itself, which is an indicator of presence, which is an indicator of that which we have to be drawn to, not that which is utilitarian to be able to see something else, but that which is a light in and of itself. You know, there's two dinim in Talmud Torah. There's two dinim in Talmud Torah. It's famous Beis Halevi. Really, it's a Beis Yosef also, but each one, what is it? Right? The question which is dealt with by the Beis Yosef, by the Rishonim, really is women making Birchas HaTorah. Women making the bracha in the morning over learning Torah when they're not commanded to learn Torah. Right? Teach it to yourself, not to you. Women aren't commanded in learning Torah, so why do they make a bracha of Birchas HaTorah? Now, Ashkenazim, women make brachas even on mitzvahs which they're clearly not commanded to do. Right, that's what some Rishonim, women will make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer, they'll make a bracha on Lulav or on Sukkah, even though it's a time bound mitzvah. If they're doing it, they make a bracha, right? And they could say Asher Kishonim says of Tzivanu in the general sense, even though they're not compelled to do it. But the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, holds like the Rambam, they don't make such a bracha. Why would they make Birchas HaTorah? So he says, because there's two aspects of Talmud Torah. There's an aspect of Talmud Torah to know what you have to do. Right? I have to keep Shabbos. I have to learn Hilcha Shabbos to know what to do on Shabbos. Women have to learn that. Now, whether they learn it in school, whether they learn it in their mother's kitchen, whatever it is, but they have to learn that. They have to know it. So therefore, women are commanded in that aspect of Talmud Torah. But there's another aspect of Talmud Torah, which is not, I'm learning this in order to be able to perform a specific mitzvah. I'm learning it in order, right, using our terminology today, to ingest the or, to ingest the light. Not for the ma'ar of, it will instruct me and guide me how to do something, but just to be connected to the light. Right? The Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem, Hashem created all kinds of mitzvahs, all kinds of ma'isim through which to attain shleimus. But there's one thing which is beyond them all, and that's Torah. Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his essence into. He created Torah, which is the ultimate repository of Kedusha that exists in the world, to the point where a person even just, you know, says the words without even understanding the words of the Torah Shebichsav. They're coming into contact with the greatest Kedusha, the greatest sanctity. That's not a luminary. That's not practical. Learn in order to be able to figure out how to do. That's a second din of Talmud Torah. Right? Even the din of what the Ramchal goes on and says, and the Torah Shebichsav, to have the understanding of Torah into yourself. That's not simply, I need to understand how to do this. It's to become a Be'or Panecha Nasata Lanu Hashem Elokeinu Torah Chaim V'Avas Chesed. To have all of that. That's the different aspect of light that we're talking about here with the menorah. That's the different aspect which we're talking about. It's not practical. It's not pragmatic. It's or. It's or, not ma'or. It's or, not ma'or. Eim lanu rishus lishtamish bahem elo liraisam bilvad. And that was the Koran Har Pnei Moshe. And what's the name which we use shorthand for Koran Har Pnei Moshe? Hoyd. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yehoshua, Hashem said to Moshe, excuse me, regarding Yehoshua, says it's time for you to appoint Yehoshua, take him out, v'nosata mehoydcha olav. You should put some of your hoyd, hoyd we usually translate as your glory, right? Put some of your glory on him. What does that mean? Says Rashi, give him mikar and arpanav. He should have some of your radiance. Now, Yeshua didn't have the equal radiance to Moshe. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun, and Yeshua was like the moon. Pnei Moshe kipnei chama, pnei Yeshua kipnei levana. But nevertheless, that was it. That was the hoyd. That was the hoyd. And hoyd is deeply connected with Chanukah. The term hoyd is deeply connected to Chanukah because the term hoyd is also connected to the term Haidah, which is the Avodah of Chanukah. Kavish Shemayis Mei Chanukah Elu LaHaidahs VaLaHalal LaShimcha HaGadol Haidah VaHalal. But in Svarim, it's beyond the scope of what we're going to really talk about today. Haid is deeply connected to Chanukah. The Midav Arayim HaKayin, right? Which Yontif of Chanukah is certainly not really the Yontif of Moshe. It's the Yontif of Aron HaKohen of the Chashmei Noyim. It's Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Vaydaber El Aron Marta Ilo Ba'alois Chasaneris. That was Chanukah. Chanukah, right? Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisoid, Malchus, right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aron. Hoyd is the Midah of Aron HaKohen. So we're not going to go here and to talk about Hoyd, right? We're not going to talk about that. But you see, Hoyd is the reference to the light of Moshe Rabbeinu's face. And we're arguing that that light, which is a chelek, like the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, of the Or HaGonos, of the Or of the first day, is like the light of Chanukah. The light of Chanukah in being an Or and not a Ma'or. And being an Or and not being a Ma'or. And this is the idea, this is what the Maral's Mechadish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Or on Chaf Hei Elul. And then there was the balance, so to speak, between the Or and the Choshech. And it started to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink, like everything started to shrink soon after Bria. Adam shrank. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Chaf Hei Kislev, right, is the solstice. That's when it gets its darkest. The Or is the least. And then we introduce a new Or. So no, the sun is growing. It's a ma'or. You know, the sun is growing. That sun is just a ma'or. It's not an or. But that's where we come in. That's where we come in. Where we light the Neiras Chanukah. Where, in a certain sense, we're trying to restore the Ur Harishain. The Ur Harishain. And bring that back. Bring that back together. And bring that back together. That's the idea. And that's in the Migdash again, as the Maral says, the Beis HaMikdash Shemisham Nivreis HaOr. The Beis HaMikdash, as the Medrash says, is where the Ur originally, in fact, came from. That's where you find. That's where you find the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Just to kind of go back to the sun, which you just mentioned, but it seemed like a lot of your references to the sun was, we compare Moshe Rabbeinu's radiance to the sun. The sun is against, as to keep away least steam, so it's not for a light. It kind of implies that the sun is not a light to see by. Is that simply because the sun just like gives light to the earth, and that's like the primary reason, or?
No, the sun is a light to see by. The sun is a ma'or. You see, everything, there aren't clear, sharp lines over here, right? I'm telling you, a ner as opposed to an ar, and then ner Chanukah is the ar. You know, it's like, you know, you have to understand that everything has a little thing. But the Shemesh is a light to see by. The Shemesh is a light to see by. When the Ganavim, the person who's being defended from the Ganavim is not saying, oh, now I have the light, so therefore I'm going to be able to see the Ganavim. It's then the presence of the light which in itself scares off the Ganavim. It's the presence of the light which scares off the Ganavim, rather than the same kind of utilitarian thing of, oh, I have the light, now I can avoid falling into that pit by accident. It's a different thing. The Pnei Moshe Kipnei Chama, the face of Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun, right? So what does that mean? Oh, so it means it was utilitarian. It was help light up something else. But no, Chazal tell us specifically that it wasn't there to light up other things, right? He covered it up at other times. It was, you know, it's a different story. Yeah.
Just two quick questions that you mentioned. Number one is, you mentioned that whether women say bracha or not, there are two different ideas over commentary. One is to know what to do, the other one is to learn in order to ingest the light. I'm sorry, what was the reason why women do say?
So women have a mitzvah. Women have the mitzvah of learning to know what to do. If they have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, then they have to know what it takes to keep Shabbos.
Right.
They have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah of Lilmaid Lasos, to learn to do. They don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah. They don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah just to learn for the sake of learning.
Okay.
Right? Now, so again, we would still say if they chose to do it, they would make a bracha, Ashkenazim. But if, according to the Shitos that wouldn't, that's where their issue is. So they say, but they still have the other mitzvah. And for that, they can make the bracha.
Talked about Surah and Komer. You were saying, I'm just trying to figure out the creation on the first day of light. That is that Surah? Is that Komer? Is that Komer? Very vague to me. This Komer,
the light
created on the first day. Is that Komer?
Surah. There's no other creation of Chaimer except for the first creation. Every creation subsequently is Surah, huh?
When did that happen? The first creation of Komer.
Gracious.
That's before the first day.
Well, it's either the beginning of the first day. Or it's before the first day.
Okay. Yeah.
But the existence of matter was the original creation. It may not have been as an act of creation. That's the idea of Tzimtzum. It's an act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing something else to come into existence.
Why is the natural inclination to shy away from the or, you know, like the Jews should have behaved maybe a little differently than the bandits? No? I mean, at that point?
Yeah. But the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overwhelming. Remember, the only reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was going up to Har Sinai and then coming back to speak to the Jewish people was because when they were there at Har Sinai, it took the breath away from them, and they said, "We can't be so close to Hashem. We have to step back, and you go and be close to Hashem." They did that, right? And that was part of this thing of shying away from having a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's overwhelming. They did it. They stepped back, but then they found that Moshe was also, to some degree, because of the connection which he now established with Hashem, he himself was somewhat overwhelming. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, come. And when he said come, they were able to come. He wasn't going to be buddy-buddies with them. He wasn't going to watch the football game with them. Right? But he nevertheless was still going to be accessible to be able to teach them Torah. That's it. That's the idea. And it's not, you know, I think, just to close, Borcheinu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad Be'or Panecha. How do you translate that bracha when you read it? Bless us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the light of your face. So there's two ways to understand that, I think. There's two ways to read that. I think the straightforward way, the simple way to read it is that we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have such radiance with you, let us see it. Right? Because whenever you've shown us Or Panecha, you gave us Teras Chaim, you gave us Avas Chesed, every good positive value we got because of whatever extent we were able to see you. We got it from you. But there's another way to translate it, which is, we should have Or Panim. The radiance of your face should be the radiance of our face, which is exactly what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, didn't just have, one could see the Koran Or Panim because Hashem somehow spilled something on his face, right, when he did it, and he ended up glowing. No, it was that Moshe Rabbeinu, through contact with Hashem, his neshama became so strong that now Moshe Rabbeinu had Or Panim. And we say that, Chachmas Adam Tor Panav, the wisdom of a person brings a light to his face, brings a radiance to his face. Right? It's not radiance to be able to see. It's radiance just to be seen. Eidusi Shachachma Shair of Israel. Eidusi Shachchina Shair of Israel. I don't know that there's a Chachmas Adam Tor Panav on Greek wisdom. I don't know that there is. I know that there's a Chachmas Adam Tor Panav on Torah wisdom. I know that when Rabbi Meir said, when Rav said that he was so great because he got a glimpse of Rabbi Meir. Because he got a glimpse of Rabbi Meir. So he saw what the light was, and he saw the back of Rabbi Meir. And he said, had I seen the face of Rabbi Meir, woof, forget about it. Right? And that's what the Sforna says on the mask. Mm-hmm. He had to have the mask off when he learned with them because
Could they see his face or was the light blinding?
They didn't have to see his face. They saw the light. The light that was his face.
They missed the nuance of his communication.
They didn't miss anything. They didn't miss anything.
You know, Rabbi,
you know what? We get too many nuances of communication and we miss the light. And we miss the light.
I think we also miss out the fact that light is not the first force, the first energy created. I mean, a physicist will agree with 100%. You know, that the weak and strong nuclear forces
of
they were formed way before.
The Ramban says that the reference to chayshech, to darkness, in the second verse, the chayshech al pnei, darkness on the face of the depths, was energy. Darkness, right, was energy itself. Well, you know, the four yesidus was the energy itself. That's why, if that already existed, you have to understand what the creation of Or is, and that maybe even preceded. But Ramban says that Chayshech, which is described there, even before Yihyar was the existence of energy. And again, yeah, those who will look at and try to retrace the steps of how the world came into existence, was brought into existence, will also identify such things along the way. But I don't consider myself understanding these things enough to comment intelligently.
The basics of it.
Yeah.
The basics agree with the.
Yeah. Of course. Baruch Hashem. Okay.
Equals MC squared.